fourth grade month and the fourth, from the fifth through the eighth, and I worked a half a day in each until I felt the first classroom needed me more. So I stayed in the first classroom. That was Lorraine's classroom. But since you left, I was in two or three other classrooms.
What do you do there now? What are same you, thing. You're still teaching.
I'm teaching the, now I have learning disabilities now. Mm-hmm. They're a little harder. But the work is the same. I know all the elementary work. Mm-hmm. And now I'm trying, I worked all summer. Now I'm, I have to have an appointment with the head of education and find out if they want me to go in that classroom.
Who is the head of education?
Bill Byers. And I would like to work till the middle of August, then I go away for a couple of weeks and rest up.
You sure need it.
But I like to work in the summer. The summer's too long if I don't go to work.
What was your husband's attitude towards your doing all this type of work? How did he feel about that?
Well, he admired me because I know they would have a dinner every year for, you know, Conference of Christians and Jews.
Yeah.
And they'd have every year they'd have a dinner. Of course, in our dinners, they never had speaker tables or anything. They mixed them all up. Mm-hmm. Just big, black, white, the plant, the office were all mixed up. Mm-hmm. And they just had a little podium, and that's where the speaker spoke from. And every time they get up to talk, he always started out with his wife. Always start. He admired the things I did, because color made no difference. Mm-hmm. And of course, Aaron O. He's a great one. If you ever talk to him about his volunteer work, I think he was on the board of the Urban League, and he's great with the blacks.
How did you become involved with the state? I understand that you've done volunteer work down at the state office for the blind. How did you become involved?
That wasn't hard because my daughter's the head of the getting readers. June's she gets the readers through the Ladies Hospital Aid Society.
The Ladies Hospital Aid,
and Janet Kleinman.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Where it's her personal friend, and she gave her the job. Mrs. Lebo had it first, then Janet got it, and now she gave it to June. Mm-hmm. And she's the one that gets the readers. And so, of course, she asked me. And
the readers for down at the
for anywhere,
the workers at the
for mm-hmm. students and anywhere. She has a whole book of people that need readers.
Well, when you went down to the state office, you became involved with Bill James, who was director.
Well, not when I first went. The first job I had was with Bob in the
Bob Morgenstern.
Liberty had an upstairs for McDonald's.
Bob Morgenstern, who was a blind social worker.
And you read to him?
Yeah, I was there this morning.
He was with the state office. He was with the Department of Public Assistance.
First, when I started with him, he was only a social worker at the Office of Public Assistance on Liberty Avenue across from Aisens. And then, when he went to get his master's, I went to Mr. James. And he's the head of visually handicapped.
Bill James. The state office for the blind.
William K. James is at the head of the visually handicapped down the state building, 101 state building.
He's totally blind also.
And I worked with him, and Bob went to get his master's. And when Bob finished his master's, he called Mr. James up while I was there one morning. I didn't even know. And Mr. James sits back in the rockers. You know, Mr. Levins, I have a problem. I was wondering why he's telling me his problem. I said, well, there's anything I can do for you, I'd be happy. He sits back, he says, well, Bob Murray still wants you back. He said he got his master's, and now they offered him this job as supervisor of the visually handicapped. He said, he won't accept it unless I promise to come back. So Mr. James asked what I thought, and I said, well, if you can spare me, I'd like to go back to Bob. Well, he has two or three secretaries. He didn't need me. So I went back to Bob, and then he was advanced from that job. Now he's with the assistant to Mr. James. Now he went from the 10th floor down to the first, and he's in the assistant manager of the visually handicapped office.
And what exactly do you do for him?
Everything he needs. Well, mostly we work on case histories.
You're his eyes, aren't you?
Yeah, case histories. I worked on, I bet, 50 this morning. Well, one thing I'm happy about, whatever he asks of me, I can find in the book. Whatever he has in the folder, anything he needs and anything he asks, it's not routine because every folder is a different request, but I'm able to satisfy him. We went through an awful lot, and then I make tapes for him, I read his mail, I do anything he needs, anything he wants.
But you just said that you worked on about 50 case histories this morning. Exactly what did that involve? I mean, what?
Well, they bring in the envelopes from the different parts of that office, and he has to check certain things in there, the summary cases and the budgets and everything, and then I have to sign his name. I signed and signed and signed. And one time, his name is Robert. One time I signed Rose Levinson. I started with the R.
You're there long enough that you...
All of a sudden, I see myself signing Levinson. With this mark.
And I told you, he'd get a kick out of that. Or
and my signature is very important, too.
It certainly is.
Yeah. So anyhow, I did a lot of that this morning. And I sign and sign and sign. And I read anything he needs. I read and I think I'm satisfying him.
You must be if he wanted you back. That is tremendous.
How long have you been doing this? Approximately.
Well, not less than 15 years. More than 15.
It must be because it took Bob a while to get his master's
degree.
Listen,
before I started with Bob, I worked with Bernice Riley. She had a sightseeing job. Did you know her at all? She was down that office, too.
Yeah,
did you know
sure
her?
Sure, I knew her, yeah.
Well, she was really the first one I got was Bernice Riley. Then she was very unhappy. She wasn't satisfied with what they were giving her. She wanted more advancement, and she went to Harrisburg. Mm-hmm. And then I started with Bob. Mm-hmm. But I like it. I'm a great worker. I tell you, I enjoy it. No, I don't work just because it has to be done, or not even because it's voluntary. I just enjoy working. I love to work.
And yet you're making a real contribution to these people.
Yeah, but I love to work. Mm-hmm. And you know something? If anything's on my mind, I can't sleep. And what do you think's been bothering me the last few days?
Yeah.
See, our class is over June 10th. These classes.
School.
School. Yeah. Then they start. Don't put this down.
Yeah.
No? No? Oh, I don't want this down.
Yeah, I think just turn it off.
This is personal.
What other organizations do you belong to?
Everything in Pittsburgh and out of Pittsburgh. Wherever, anything I knew that would need the members, I was there. Because I'm pretty good at giving my monetary support. I can't give my physical self. So I give my monetary support, and I love to give. I'd rather give to charity than eat. I love it. It's my most enjoyment.
But you do give of yourself with these other...
Yeah, but I mean, as far as some women just want to spend money on themselves, and as far as spending money on myself, I spend where it's necessary. I don't waste it. Mm-hmm. But I love to give to charity.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you do in your free time now? I mean, this is, you talk about your working time, always, and in your free time, what do you do?
Well, I go to the concert. I've been going for years, ever since, for 50 years, I guess. I have a weekly subscription to that. And when the Theater Guild, theater was downtown, you know, where the old one was, I went to the Theater Guild every year. Now it's over North Side. Mm-hmm. And it's just in the evening. I have no way of getting there, so I don't. But I did subscribe to the CLO, Civic Light Opera.
Mm-hmm.
And I read and I watch television. I read. I'm a very early riser. And if there's nothing on television about 9:30, I'll go upstairs and get undressed and read. I'd rather read in bed. Because down here I can read, but with one ear I'm reading, the other ear I'm watching the news, and I'm not reading properly, see? But when I get to bed, then I read properly.
Well, surely, I mean, what about your friends and your social life? Do you spend much time with...
Well, my social life is limited right now, since my husband... was not here. When I had him, our lives were different. We'd entertain an awful lot. We had 50 and 60 people at our cocktail parties, and most of my social life was with our business friends, with my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And now I go with our foundation has a table. I just got a call just before you came. The Conference of Christians and Jews is having their banquet May 17th. They asked me if I'll go. They always take a table. And my Aaron was, through him I go to a lot. He was the man of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a chairman of the Council Conference of Christians and Jews already. He follows his father's footsteps. Everything my husband had, he has now. Manuel Spector Award, anything that my husband had, he had.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always big doings because of that. So I...
How did the foundation come into being?
I think I mentioned it to you before. My husband did that right in this room. Right in this room, he organizes the foundation. I guess he felt the need of it. So he called his brothers together, and Pauline Nasseroff worked for our foundation. He had her and the brothers, and I sat in.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided they organized it right in this room.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a big, big job.
Who now approves of the philanthropies that they give?
They have board meetings. They have board meetings, and you know Marion. Marion Levinson.
Very well.
Well, Bert, the offspring, not too many of the offspring are in our family anymore.
What
Bert.
Does Jacob? Where did Jacob Levinson fit into this
yeah.
picture? Marion's husband.
Yeah. Well, he was the next oldest to my husband. He was the purchasing agent.
He was your husband's.
My husband's next brother. Mm-hmm. And then now Lou Siegel has his job, mm-hmm. and my son-in-law has it. Mm-hmm. But what was I telling you about? Bert Levinson has this. Things got bad for a while, and they discharged. She went out. I don't know if they discharged her. Pauline went out, and she's with. She went to the Y. She was a physical mm-hmm. director, some mm-hmm. sort of a physical mm-hmm. for the handicapped. Mm-hmm. She's retired now. She's not there anymore. And so Bert has hold of that. But when there's big giving, they I think they do it through the board. They're bored.
Bert Levinson then is your nephew.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Marion's son.
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy, her older son, is on our board, but his father-in-law died, and his father-in-law gave him the whole business. They have a great big business in Erie, mm-hmm. an engineering business.
Is that so?
And he gave Jimmy, because that daughter, that was their only child. Lynn was the only mm-hmm. child. Mm-hmm. They gave him the business. Now he's on our board. Aaron's on his board, and he's on our board.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in
Erie. Can you name all the five brothers?
Yeah, surely. Samuel, Jacob, Abe, that's one married to my sister, Jaime, and Money, Emmanuel, they call him Money. Yes, and then I have two sisters.
And what are their names?
Ida and Sadie. Ida Rubin, she's married to my brother,
mm-hmm.
Sadie Goodman, she's the younger one. So the four boys are gone, just the one, the youngest boy is living, and the two mm-hmm. sisters.
And what about your brothers and sisters?
Well, our family is gone too. My mother had eight, and all's left is one brother and two sisters.
Can you tell me their names?
The ones that are living.
No, all of them.
Oh.
You remember?
The boys and the boys
whole family.
And
girl. Yeah,
all
the
eight of them.
Yeah. Eight? Yeah. All right. Annie. That's one came with my parents to America.
Mm-hmm.
Dorothy. She's dead. Oh. You want the boys too, Harry. Then my mother had a miss there between Harry, and then I came. Mm-hmm. She had a miss between us. And then she, another one between me and the next one died at 3 months. Bessie is the one that's living. And Monty, and who's living, is eight. Mm-hmm. She raised eight of us. Is there eight?
One died, you said, very young, a baby.
Three mm-hmm. months between, mm-hmm. and she had a miscarriage. She had 10 pregnancies, one miss and one died at 3 months.
Mm-hmm. You say that a lot of the nephews are not in the business anymore?
Well, Jimmy is with the government. That's Aaron's son, is with the government.
Is he the one who married
the Indian
girl?
He's divorcing her.
Is he?
No, I didn't. Don't put that.
He works for the government, you say?
Yes.
What does he do? Do you know?
Mostly nutrition. He was with the chief of nutrition in India for 5 years. Who else is that? Oh, well, the grandchildren. See, Jeffrey Paris is married to Aaron's daughter, and he's with a big drug company. What's that other big, Searles? That's another big company, say Upjohn.
No,
I forget. Oh, with a big drug company. He's going to Europe next week, and so my daughter and I was going out there. I'll think about it. That's Jeff. And then the one that's married to her daughter, he's with Union Carbide. See, they're our children's mates, husbands.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So he's with Union Carbide. Mm-hmm. Of course, the girls, now the girls are in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else. Who else is?
What about June's children?
Well, the one that's with Union Carbide is married to her daughter, and the other two boys are in New York. They're not with. They didn't want to be in our company at all, so they're in New York in their own business. They're not married.
Mm-hmm. Is that Aaron's?
These are June's boys.
June's
two boys.
Yeah.
Aaron's both children are married.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you were growing up, what did you do for fun when you were a young girl? For your recreation?
I don't think I ever did. Yes, I did. I went to dancing school. everything was with a Y, Y-I, because they were with a Y.
Yeah, Kaufman's settlement at that time.
I went to dancing school every Saturday. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else I did.
They had a lot of activities for young people at
the
Yarn Kaufman
settlement. Whatever they had. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's all I can remember.
Was that when the tellers were there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Were you part of that group?
Well, most of it was up in the in that house before they built that IKS. That house, you know, where I sang. I did mostly singing. I love to sing. Mm-hmm. Sing and dance.
Mm-hmm. What was your neighborhood like where you lived?
I don't know. I was always on the go. I don't remember. Just like every other.
You never stopped.
Every other poor neighbor. It was poor. We were poor. Mm-hmm. I know. I think everybody was poor. Don't you think years back? No one had any money.
No,
I think everybody
but they were
was
very
poor.
Happy. They lived
well. They were happy.
How did you feel when you went? You said you worked to help your family, your mother raise these 8 children. Then you married Sam Levinson, and then you began to go up the ladder. I mean, things became much better. What sort of a transition was that for you?
It didn't do a thing to me.
Were you aware of the fact that things were...
Well, I was always aware of the fact, see, because I was brought up in a very, very poor way. My father was just a very poor rabbi. And twice a year we'd get a dress and a pair of shoes for Rosh Hashanah and for Pesach, that's all, twice a year. We didn't know from anything, any kind of luxuries. So the only thing that I was concerned about when I was a child, I just wanted to live the best I could. I wanted to take piano lessons. I knew from the very start I wanted culture. So we didn't have a piano. So my older brother, that was Harry, took me down to the convent on Chatham Street, and for 60 cents a lesson, I got 50 cents for the lesson, 10 cents a week, I was allowed to go in there and practice. Then he bought me a piano, but you know what I used to do at home? You know, when you study, fingering's a big thing. Mm-hmm. And I also learned to sing the notes. So on my kitchen table, I was singing practicing on the kitchen mm-hmm. table with the right fingering and singing the notes. That's the way I was practicing until he got me a piano. But I always wanted to study, always wanted to learn. Anything I knew they were teaching, I was running and getting into that group. I always wanted to learn. As soon as I heard the Chazon Blum had a choir, I ran and I went into the choir. As soon as I knew there was dancing lessons, I ran and went into the dancing lessons. I always had an urge for learning.
How did your parents react to this? Were they...
They were happy.
Happy for
you? Yeah, my mother and father were
happy. They encouraged you to...
I know my mother, especially my father, I know he was very happy with me because he was very learned. And he wasn't well for about 3 years before he died. And you know, when I came home from school, he always would take me over to his bedside and read things from the Bible. He said he's always read things, and he always associated with having a good daughter. He said, you know, I just read that if he had a good daughter, the daughter should do this and the daughter should do that. He always associated me with something that he read, and he always put me in it. And I don't know, they were very fond of me. I don't know why, but my mother and father were very fond of me. I always wanted to learn.
All right, you had this urge. What about the other members of your family? There were, you say, 8 children. Did the others feel the same way that you did, or what were their interests? Because you came in the middle there. There were older brothers and sisters and younger brothers and sisters.
Well, my very oldest sister was a buyer in Kaufman's. I remember Lady's Skirts. She bought skirts, and she made a great big salary of $12 a week. We thought it was so much because she gave the whole thing to my mother. And that she was a buyer and made $12 a week.
They
make $12 an hour.
If not more.
And my other second sister was the buyer in, do you remember there was a Lou and Neiman?
Sure.
In the ribbons and neckwear. She must made most beautiful rosettes. They used to put rosettes on the little girl's shoulders and on the top of their socks and bows and everything. And she was a buyer in Lou and Neiman's. And my brother Harry, I guess he worked, settlers that were over there, they had men's furnishing over at Northside. Mm-hmm. He worked over there until he married my husband's sister, then he went into our business. Mm-hmm.
But did they have the same interest in wanting to learn and wanting to go to school and wanting to take courses that you had? You were the only one that pursued that.
I'm not satisfied yet. I don't think I'm doing enough.
That's wonderful.
I do. I've just been working, maybe a year or so, just till noon over there. And I used to work with Lorenzo for quarter to five with mom. She'd drive me home, help her make the, because she was with the Board of Education, make her make report cards and all that. And I don't feel that I'm doing enough. I even said to her, maybe I ought to go down to VRC and see if I can get a job down there. You know, vocational training. I don't think I'm doing enough.
Can you tell me something about your religious observances? You said your home was very Orthodox
when
you grew up.
Oh, very, very.
Did you have an Orthodox home when you were your own home?
Oh, yes. Well, it was until, I had two separate sets of dishes until I got the dishwasher. And then I didn't think it was necessary. And my mother, she really got me started right with the two separate dish pans and different colored bordered towels, red and blue. And I kept it all very, very strictly until I got the dishwasher. And as far as my husband's concerned, he just didn't care what I did. He said the home was mine, and I could do whatever I want. And I bless candles, which I still do every Friday night. I bless candles, and I go to shul every Friday night. I observe the holidays, the Jewish holidays. I say yisker when it's necessary. And I go to the cemetery, and I don't know what else there is to do.
You mentioned when we were talking one time about these large family gatherings that you had for holiday dinners, Passover.
Oh,
you had them here?
I did, until my husband got sick, and then I didn't have any more strength.
Mm-hmm.
Had nurses around the clock, they wore me out. I used to have 20 at the table here for Pesach, for Rosh Hashanah, all the family, my sisters and brothers. I used to cook 25 pounds of gefilte fish one time, and I enjoyed doing that because I was living, and when we had the Seder, we had a real Seder. I had the modern Haggadah, we go from cover to cover.
Mm-hmm.
Even now, we do it over there.
Over Aaron's.
Mm-hmm. Well, we go over to Aaron sometimes.
How long was your husband ill?
He had a stroke, and he was sick for 6 years with nurses around the clock, and then he died suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
He was watching, he had a dinner, he come downstairs. We have an elevator here.
Mm-hmm.
It took him downstairs from 5:30 to 6, and 6 o'clock he went up. When we got to the other room, a girl wheeled him to the elevator. He says, "Goodbye, sweetheart." And I didn't like goodbye. I said, "Don't say goodbye, I don't like it." And I know the Hebrew word for "I'll see you again." I learned that from Earl. Lehit ra'ot. That means "I'll see you again." So I said, "Lehit ra'ot." He's all right, lehit ra'ot. So he goes upstairs, and I was sitting there on that chair watching television, and the nurse, I guess she called him upstairs. See, this is a soundproof room.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't hear, because I was way over there, and I see she's standing in the doorway. She said, "Something happened to your husband." So I started up, and I thought they're having a fight, because they were rude to him. I got really gray nose when he was sick. They didn't do anything. Whatever he asked of them, they wouldn't do it. They were tired. They were supposed to work during the night and sleep all night, and he wanted to go in the bed or out of the bed, and they didn't want to do it for him. And I used to argue with him all the time, and he'd keep calling me, "Mama Sweetheart Row, Mama Sweetheart Row." That's all I got all night long, "Mama Sweetheart Row, Mama Sweetheart Row." He'd pound on the arm of the chair. So if I go in, the nurses didn't like it, they said I was spoiling him. And I could have sat down and cried right at the foot of his chair, and if he wanted to go in the bed or out of the bed, they wouldn't do it. So that was the story. So anyhow, she called me. So I went up, and I was thinking, I didn't finish the story, that maybe she was fighting with him. She said she didn't like the way he was acting. And I was thinking, how am I going to make peace between them? When I got up, he was sitting on the chair with his eyes turned around the wheelchair. She went to brush, she brushes his teeth and lays him down. Then at 9 o'clock, she would bring him downstairs for company. So it was 6:15, he went up at 6. The television was still on up in the bedroom. She said, "Come on, I'll brush your teeth and lay it down," just for about an hour. Then she'd bring him down. And as she was brushing, she was brushing his teeth. You know, it was just a partial denture. He moaned, and she thought that he was just bored. She thought he was bored. She didn't pay attention to him. Then he moaned again, and she looked at him. And his eyes were turned up. And that was, so we called the doctor. In 5 minutes, he was here, he was on plane film. He was here in 5 minutes and pronounced him dead.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
He didn't suffer.
Tell me something, do you remember anything about the Depression?
Oh, sure. I remember.
How did it affect you?
Well, affected me in a way that I know how to watch mine. I was very glad that I knew how. I was very careful, but I gave the children everything they needed, and my son thought it was terrible that I was, you know, he went to college. I said, you don't have to worry about anything. All the money that you have, that I'm sending you to college with, is not money that I got from this depression. It's money that I've saved since you're born. That's one thing I did with each one of my children. I saved for them since they were born for college, separate. And this money that I saved for you is the money that you're going to college with. He didn't like that, but he went.
Where did he go to college?
Pitt and Tech. So I knew not to watch my daughter, and I had to watch, so I watched, that's all. Mm-hmm.
Was he in engineering? Did he go into...
He went into our shop, you know.
Yeah.
And he wanted to learn the business, and he went into the shop, not into the office, but into the shop. Mm-hmm. And he was learning the business from scratch, was doing rivets in the furnace, right with a man. Mm-hmm. And then he advanced himself to the office job. To the office in the...
Did he take engineering at Tech when he went to Tech? Was it?
No, I think he took up management. He didn't take up engineering. Mm-hmm. And then he went to the office in the plant, and then he advanced himself to the office in the upper offices, and then when he was 35, my husband made him president. Mm-hmm. So he just learned himself, but he took up management at college. He's a clever boy. He's doing a big job
in
Pittsburgh. I'm crazy about him. I shouldn't say it, but I am.
Say it to his mother.
I'm crazy about him. I like him a lot. You know, he is not just smart. He's kind. He's so good. He has a heart of gold. Do you know him personally?
Yeah, I know
him. He's so sweet and he's so good. Everybody loves him.
So that you love him not only because he's your son, but because he's a good person.
He's a very good person.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that we haven't covered?
Do you remember anything about the medical care when you were growing up? Did you ever have to go to the hospital, or what hospital?
Our family?
Mm-hmm.
As I was growing up, we didn't have any of that. My parents, when they were sick, they just were sick and they died. I don't think my father was ever in the hospital, and my mother was there 4 days, and then she died. Mm-hmm. In the hospital.
Did you have a family doctor at the time when you were growing up?
Doctor, I forget his name. He lived in the same house with him. I don't remember his name. I'll think of it later. He lived in the same house with him on Caldwell Street.
There was a Dr. Fuchs on the hill.
Yeah, but doctor, I forget.
That's
I don't think we went to doctors.
That's probably
ago,
true.
You couldn't afford to be sick.
Yeah. Well, years ago, people mm-hmm. didn't run like they do today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they always say it doesn't get better itself.
Yeah.
That's right. They believed in things getting better themselves, which they did. A lot of times, you leave things alone, they get better themselves. Oh, yeah, Doctor of Benefits. He's the one that lived in our house. We lived in the same house with him. Rabinowitz. He lived in our house, and we used him when we needed. We never needed a doctor. My mother, they don't need doctors. They give them castor oil, and once we were out better.
Camphor oil.
Yeah, years ago they had a lot of home remedies.
Is there anything else you can think of about your family or...
cover politics what were your husband's your political interests and how active was he?
I'm not really a politician. Whatever he did, he sort of did in his own way. We never discussed politics much in the house.
Well, you vote, don't you?
Sure. I vote. I've always voted since the women were alive.
Yeah.
Sure. But I'm not too politically minded. When we went to vote, he'd always make a sample ballot for me. And that was the extent of it. Of course, I listen to the news and I try to gather what I can out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as we've been a real politician, I'm not, so that's why I can't discuss it too openly.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel you raised your family of three children. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the way your children are raising their families?
You know, my two girls are 12 years apart. I wanted four children, and I had the first two 4 years apart, 4 years and 2 months apart, and I couldn't get pregnant again. I was so angry with myself and so disgusted. I wanted four before the second would go to kindergarten. I wanted to be pregnant again, which happened the first time. So the doctor says, you're too anxious, just forget about it. Maybe you'll never have more than two. So we went to California, and I come back pregnant because I was relaxed. I didn't think I was going to get, I didn't even think of babies anymore. And I come back pregnant. And she was born 12 years after the second one. And of course, for the fourth, I didn't try anymore.
You were satisfied.
Yeah.
But how do they raise their children compared to the way that you raised your children?